KO4NUE, mobile.
Jim, KO4NUE, how you, Ted?
Hey, Bill, how you doing, man? Just headed back from Anderson. Been over to pick up some items and headed back to the house. Well, I hadn't heard you in a while. I kind of got off grid there for 3 or 4 days, building an engine. When I get to this point where I'm on the get everything assembled and then start it up, make sure it runs, I kind of have to tune everything else out till I can get through that. So it's out the door. Customer's got it and he's happy with it. So I'm headed up to the deer camp to take care of that clicking noise on my transmit side. So got all my tools and looking forward to that.
For a few minutes, but that's, I've been on for about a week myself. I've been busy, so I'm thinking about heading over to Athens Field Day here in a little bit and hang out for a while.
See, kind of need, I'm not gonna try to go to that one. I gotta get my comm straightened out in my deer camp, so I'm gonna focus on that, and that's what I'm gonna do.
A good project's always fun to get accomplished, so no worries there.
St. Patrick's should be on an airplane headed to, Missouri. I think that's where it was, to get his new parts truck.
It was down to the wire, and he was on whether he would get it this weekend or not, so glad he's getting it.
He's ready, man. He's been through a time with that thing, trying to get insurance straightened out and working out of his trailer and everything else. I don't see how he did it, but he never quit. He kept right on going, didn't he?
Give up. Never give up.
Safe on your end? Everybody healthy?
So far as I know, everybody's good and healthy, and like I said, I don't have any plans this weekend, so I may or may not end up in Athens at Field Day. It just sort of depends. I slipped over here to Anderson and bought some plants for my wife and let her get them, and that'll give me an excuse to slip out for a little bit if I want to, or I may just sit in a recliner, who knows.
You had a long week.
I had, my boss retired last Friday, so I got a new boss, and one of my IT pros that does desktop support, he left, or resigned. And he's going to another part of the university, so I've been dealing with all that. Just makes for a long week.
Well, I hope things work out with your new boss, man. Sometimes that can be a challenge to work through, and especially when you got a increased workload too. That's kind of tough.
Should work out. My new boss is somebody I've known for about 15 years, so it's, I think it'll all be good. And I've worked with HR all day Friday getting the job set up to replace my IT pro that's leaving, so hopefully by August I'll have somebody new in place and let them start the year off with the students.
Expect that gets pretty busy when all the kids get there too, is that right?
To the understatement, it is just plumb crazy. You get 38,000 students on campus and half of them don't know where they should be going and when, and it gets interesting. But it's fun. I've been watching a fall startup for 21 years, so I don't get tired of it.
Well, I remember when we were in Iraq, we had a bunch of phone systems run off 66 blocks. We just punched phones down on 66 blocks. Just run the wire to, you know, new customer or whatever they wanted to, basically in a tent. Some of them in a foxhole, out of gate, you know, gate guards, that kind of thing. And I think on the first deployment, we ran, I won't say it was over 600 miles of wire over the span of the year with new customers coming in, new soldiers coming in, and that don't count computer, you know, as far as internet lines and things like that go. But it gets real interesting.
It does. I remember back many moons ago when we'd go weekend drills down at Fort Gordon or Fort Stewart, and the comm team had to lay out all the wire between the firing batteries and everything. It was always a orchestrated mess. But it worked. They always had us communicating from the OP to the firing line and the talk. That's all that mattered.
The funny story, Bill, so one day on the first deployment, the control cell wanted two phones out at the front gate, you know, out at the front, the beginning of the perimeter. Now, there's about 16,000 people on this fob. It's a pretty big fob. So we ran, I don't know, 3/4 of a mile of WF-16 out to the front gate, put the two phones there, and then ran it to our switch, and it wasn't 5 minutes after we got all that laid down. There was a troop of Bradley fighting vehicles coming through the gate, and one of them turned right when he went in the gate and dug up at WF-16. It got wrapped up in his track. It's the funniest thing. We looked across the compound, and there's two DNVTs about 25 yards behind that thing. I mean, it's just dragging them across the line, and jerked all the phone lines out of the switch. I mean, it was just, it was hilarious.
Only time you stop laughing is when you have to put it all back together, and then you still laugh about it.
That's all you could do, you know, really laugh about it. And then one day we put punch-down panels all over the fob, and we had a 250-pair phone line that we run underground. We put them all on these punch-down panels, so we didn't have to deal with so much WF-16, you know. We just get 250 pair under the ground and then pop it up on a 66 block. When the customer came in, we just punched the phone down on the 66 block in the tent. So we spent about a week burying, I don't know, a couple miles of 250 pair. And one day the whole left side of the camp, as far as phones went down. And it took us about a week to find it, but one of those Iraqi guys putting up tents drove a piece of rebar in the ground and drove it right through the center of that 250 pair. We'd like to have never found it, but there again, we just laughed and did what we had to do. This is KO4 NUE, station ID.
JMID. Yeah. You know, I don't know if I ever tell you, but for about 5 years, I worked for an independent telephone company, and I was in the office in the switch, and I trained on the outside plant, so I got my experience working with cable and buried pair, and even went out and helped them splice an 1,800 pair main cable out of the switch, and that was a fun 5 years, I got to admit. It was fun.
Pair. Woo! I think the biggest I've ever seen was 500 pair. If I remember right, that was close to 3 inches in diameter. That must have been a big piece of wire.
Big. up at your thigh, and I mean, it's, and, you know, they got that old jail, this was aerial, where it come out of the vault, and then went up the pole and went to the edge of town, and it was all we could do to get that cable up, and then when we spliced it in at the junctions, you know, that old jail is running cables, we call them cable boogers. We used covering that stuff from head to toe. It was a mess.
Yeah, we called it icky picks. I'm not sure where they got that from, but that's what all the cable dogs called it, was icky picks. And then after we got through all the phones done, we started running fiber optic and terminating fiber pairs, and I really enjoyed that. I really enjoyed learning how to terminate fiber. That was something else.
Little fiber and T1s and a little bit of everything. So it was, like I said, that's what got me into computers, was learning all that back in the late 80s, early 90s. So it was a good time.
Contractors came in. They wanted all this fiber run to set up their security cell. Blackwater, I believe it was Blackwater Security Group or something. And they wanted the fiber run for their computer systems, and because it was supposed to be a whole lot more secure than just regular the Nippernet, you know. So. We laid all the wire and popped it up near the 66 blocks, and they were going to terminate at the ends. They were going to do the rest, and wanted to know if it, you know, if it was good. We had connectivity, and we tried to tell them, well, yeah, it's good, and they wanted us to prove it, you know, because I guess they're paying for the job, so, you know, hey. So we just got two men with a radio and a flashlight, and we just pull our color pairs out, hold that flashlight in front of that strand, and talk with the other guy on the other end, and if he saw light coming through it, then we figured it was good. We didn't have a machine to test it, that's all we had, and it worked. We didn't have any problems.
See how much you can do with a flashlight and fiber. We actually had a PDR machine to test it and shoot the distance and see the splices and everything, but yeah, even today, if we have a suspect on fiber, the first thing we do is throw a flashlight on it, and before we even call our networking group. I mean, it's just, it's simple and easy, and it works.
Yeah, and Bill, we had one guy in the platoon. His name was Brent Powell, and he worked for a power company before we deployed, burying power lines and things like that. And he, believe it or not, I don't know if you believe in these things or not. I never do. I always thought it was a hoax, you know. But he kept a pair of divining rods in his rucksack, and when we try to find a big power line or big phone line or something like that, he'd pull those divining rods out, holding his hands, and I don't recall a time that he was ever wrong with them. I mean, it might have been a foot or two off, but he was always right on it, and I've never seen anything like that before.
And to find water, to find power. Like I said, I don't understand how they work, but I've seen it work. So I never could do it. But we had an old guy at the phone company. I say old guy, he's probably my age back then, in his 50s. And he would, he had two pieces of copper ground wire he'd bent up, and that's what he'd use. And, but it, like you said, he wouldn't be, you know, dead center, but he would get you within a foot or two, like you say, and you dig down and you'd find it.
Just look at you and grin too, right?
Especially if we'd been out there by ourselves just digging holes trying to find it.
ain't no way this is gonna work. This guy's got me out here digging this hole. He's got two pieces of wire in his hand. Who does he think he is? But when you found it, all you do just look up and grin at him. He'd grin back, wouldn't he?
That's the way it went down.
You boys not to doubt me. Y'all was doubting me, wasn't you?
Like I said, I never could get it to work. I could stand in the exact same spot where he was at, where he'd find it, and I knew it was there. Even after we dug it up, I could walk around it. I couldn't do it to save my life, but he'd hold them rods, and they'd cross up right over top of it. A couple of times, he was better than our cable locator.
And always told us, you know, you gotta be a special kind of person to do this. You can't just be any old guy, any old cable dog. You got to be somebody like me. And he just rub it in, cause we'd all try it too. I think there's one or two other guys that could do it, but I never could, and none of the other soldiers ever could. But Brent was. I mean, he rub it in, man, he'd rub it in. You know I'm special. And we'd say, oh, yeah, you special, all right.
Sounds just like the old guy we had, same way. But bless his heart, the one we had, his name was John. He ended up passing away from cancer probably, I don't know, in the late 90s. But he was a special kind of... special kind of person, so a lot of good ones like that are gone that could do those kind of things. And nowadays, most people don't know what you're talking about. You start talking about divining rods.
Oh man, I just there's just so much experience in those older fellas sometimes, and I just try my best to surround myself with people like that because I'm all about learning things like that and paying attention. And, you know, sometimes those kind of guys, they don't want to hand that information down. You know, you got to get to know them a little bit and work with them a little bit before they start teaching you things. But I'm all about that. Stuff like that just fascinates me.
Here, I always try to learn as much as I can from everybody, and knowledge is a powerful thing, and once you get to know somebody and trust them, they'll usually tell you what's going on, no matter what it's about. So, which, Chad, I've made it back to Hartwell, just about home, so I'm going to go ahead and say 73s. I've enjoyed the conversation. I hope you have a good time at your deer camp and get that clicking straightened out. I'll be looking forward to hearing how that goes. So you have a great day. Be safe and take care. M4WHM clear on your final.
Jim, KO4NUE, I enjoyed the ride, Bill, and you have a wonderful day. Have an absolutely wonderful day. And enjoy your weekend and rest. This is Kilo Oscar 4, November Uniform Echo, and I am final.